Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. My name is Brooklyn, and today my friend Katie Golenbeau is here to share some wisdom with us and some truth. So I'm very excited about that. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's an honor. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I am a Wyoming native. I professionally am the owner and founder of True North Consulting, which is kind of a combination of things. I'm a board certified biblical counselor, an alliance peacemaking conflict coach and mediator. I'm a Gallup certified strengths coach, which is not working out, but it's strengths like talents.
Yeah.
What else do I do? I'm a story-informed trauma therapy mentor.
Yeah.
And so I use all of that to work with individuals as well as teams. Absolutely love what I do. I love that it gets to be Christ-centered most of the time. Mm-hmm. Personally, I am married to Jared, and he is bivocational. One of his jobs is as an assistant pastor. And so we do a lot of ministry together, especially now that we're empty nesters. We were a blended family of five. We had five kids between the two of us. Mm-hmm. So now they're all out of the nest, and we are kind of just embracing this season of camping and paddleboarding and
so much fun stuff.
Yeah. So that's me.
So you do group work, conflict resolution, and then like one-on-one counseling.
Yes.
I've seen you before. Is it called biblical counseling?
Yes, it's a little different than licensed professional counseling.
Okay.
So,
but you use the Bible a lot, and that's why I loved it so much. But
but I don't beat people over the head with the Bible.
With the Bible. No. But you naturally are so good at like bringing truth into hard situations, which why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because this season we're talking about emotions and feelings, which is weird like to talk about, especially I think, and I talked about this last week with Joy, but sometimes it's almost like emotions and feelings can be a bad thing or a sin. And I mean, definitely you can sin with them, but I think talking about using them for good and to bring us back to God is not talked about as often as the alternative.
Yes. I think that in the work that I do, I see kind of two extremes happen. People either tend to do exactly what you just said. They think emotions don't have a place, that they're bad, that they're sinful. Mm-hmm. We refer to the scripture that says to not follow your heart because it's deceitful above all else. And scripture is truth.
Right.
But we can take that a little too far, because God is the creator of our emotions. Mm-hmm. They're not meant to be completely ignored.
Right.
And also the flip side of that is some people go down the extreme of doing everything based on their emotions, whether that's making decisions or pursuing relationships with friends or with you know, romantic relationships. How they handle those can be based on emotion. Mm-hmm. They get their feelings hurt. They might just write something off instead of having grace. And we also see both of those extremes in how we worship the Lord. Some people seek him only in truth and only head knowledge.
Yeah.
And some people seek him only through emotional experiences. And both of those extremes can get in the way. Of our faith and our relationship with the Lord.
I agree. I was thinking when you were talking about what you said at the end, how we can take our feelings as being our God or our Holy Spirit. Not that he doesn't speak to you sometimes that way, but I've been in a place before where I'm like, well, this is what I feel, so this must be what God is telling me to do. And that is not always the truth.
No.
So finding that middle ground is really important. And I seriously would call you an expert at that, at least in helping others. I don't know how you feel about like doing it for yourself, because it's always harder
in your own brain. For sure. I definitely, when I'm kind of doing my own work, It is so hard in this emotional area because we're tender there. Mm-hmm. When you're talking with other people about what they're going through in life, it doesn't hurt as much in your own heart, mm-hmm. Even if you're empathizing with people.
Yeah.
But man, when you're the one doing the work and looking through wounds and behavior patterns and thought patterns and emotions, it is daunting work.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. And that's why it's so great to have somebody else come alongside you, which we can talk about later. But I think that I know that in Jenny Allen's book. And so that one is Following Untangle Your Emotions. I'm switching the two.
That's okay.
And then Chip Dodd's book, that one is The Voice of the Heart. They both talk a lot about putting emotions inside the will of God. And like you said, we can either worship them or totally ignore them. But God had emotions and obviously created them mm-hmm. For good. Mm-hmm. And they can be used for good to come back to Him. So I'm wondering, Jenny Allen says, sorry, I got a little lost, but Jenny Allen says that there's three main ways that we hide or like evade emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is conceal, one of them is cope, and one of them is control.
Yes.
Have you seen this to be true?
I have, for sure. And I think that we all probably do all three of them.
Yeah.
But we might kind of lean toward one or the other. And I love these three examples because I think they illustrate a lot of what we do see in humanity. I completely agree. It's linked back, surprisingly. It's a really interesting thing to talk about because a lot of this can be linked back to how we learned how to do life when we were little kids.
Mm.
I used to think when people talked about, healing your childhood
Your
wounds.
Inner child.
Yeah. I used to think that was kind of weird, but the more I've learned in this part of my life, doing this work, it is so valid. So just, can I just share some examples kind of?
Yeah.
So if you grew up in a home where it was kind of like, pick yourself up, pull up your bootstraps. If you're going to be emotional, go to your room. Shake it off. There's not really any room for tears. Then you might have learned that being a little bit more self-sufficient is how you prefer to do emotions. So you might like to just be private if you're feeling upset. You might have a hard time reaching out to people for comfort or encouragement.
Mm.
If you grew up in a home where your family members, it's usually a parent, one of your parents or both were highly emotional and you had to always kind of be on guard to see how their mood was that day. I use an analogy of a thermometer,
mm-hmm.
like it's like an invisible thermometer. And if you were always having to take the temperature of the people you were living with, then what can happen from that childhood experience is that you're highly aware of others in adulthood. You are always kind of navigating based on what you're reading in the other person. And that can lead to people pleasing.
Yeah.
It can also lead to anxiety because if you're sensing that something's wrong, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third example that I want to share is if you grew up in a home that was kind of inconsistent, some days you got the nurturing that you needed when you were upset and having emotions. And then other days you didn't get that nurturing. What can happen then is just kind of confusion, and that can cause frustration and anger. Like, well, I got what I needed yesterday. Why not now? And that can cause kind of a filter of rejection in a person
uh-huh.
that they will carry into adulthood. And so every emotion and interaction that they have with people is seen through a filter of rejection. And if you're always looking for proof that you don't belong, you're going to find it. And that can mess with our emotions.
Yeah.
So I would say kind of in response to your question, the very first thing I think that's helpful to evaluate is what was my experience like? And this isn't about being down on our parents.
Yeah. Or holding anything against them. It's just truly evaluating, right?
Yeah. what was it like growing up in my home emotionally?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that shape how I learned to express emotions, seek comfort from people?
Yeah.
And I think that then can lead into those three areas that you talked about.
Yeah.
Jenny talks about.
For sure. I've done this work with you, as you know, and it is very helpful. And like you said, I think it's important to note we're not doing this to attack our parents or be like,
no,
you messed me up.
Because
our parents are not perfect. Rebecca Lyons said one time, you have to forgive up in order to grow down. And I was like, that is so true. So it was really powerful for me to notice what happened when I was a child, but also to extend grace. Because now that I have my own kids, I know that I am not perfect. And actually, I see a lot of things come out in my parenting. That is where I notice it and want to heal. Anyways, took a little sidetrack.
That is such a good point, and it's valid. And the truth really is that this is a fallen world.
Yes.
And our parents did not parent us perfectly. We're not going to parent perfectly because none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
Anytime there's humans involved, there's going to be things that don't go as per plan.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember coming to you one time right after I had my second Porter, and I was like, I just feel like I'm not the best mom to my oldest now. And you were like, yeah, you're not going to be the perfect mom and you can let that go. And it was so helpful. And it was like, if you were perfect, she wouldn't need Jesus. Like, it's you so are not true. Her savior. And I was like, okay. So also, if you're thinking about this, like going down and you're like, wow, I'm doing this to my kid.
Yeah.
Know that there's grace and we do have a savior and we can always heal.
So true.
As you were saying about like the cope, conceal, control, I was thinking about that this morning as I was praying, and I was thinking back to the fall and right after Eve ate the fruit. Kind of all of those things happened all right in Genesis, like coping, concealing, and controlling.
Oh, interesting.
So, I thought that was interesting too. It's all part of the fall, and we cannot, I think it's hard for us to take ownership of our feelings and in a healthy way and bring them to God because of that, like because of the fall. I think that beforehand, it would, like in God's world that he created perfectly, they would have always led us right back to him.
Absolutely.
But
that's such a good reference, because in God's design, emotions were part of his perfect plan. And the need to do those three didn't exist until the fall.
Right, exactly.
So they're not necessarily his best for us.
Yeah. As you said, we each probably lean towards one. I was thinking we're each probably better at one. Like,
yeah.
At doing one of these, not in a good way, but for me, it's definitely control. So control, cope, and conceal.
Yes.
How have you seen those play out like day to day in what you do?
Okay. So coping, I think, is probably the one we see the most of and that we're probably a little more aware of.
Yeah.
And people cope through kind of the basic things that you think of, like alcohol or substance use, social media, TV, really anything that kind of numbs you out.
Mm-hmm.
So coping would kind of be akin to numbing. But that can also be things like distracting ourselves with just paying attention to our family. Mm-hmm. It can be being obsessed with working out and health stuff. It can be learning all day long, like filling your head with audiobooks and music and learning good things even all day long. But if you are always focused on what it is that you're inputting in your brain, you are not going to be able to be still with the Lord or with your own emotions.
Yeah, you're still numbing out.
Yeah.
Which that is such a good point, because that's what I think, that's where we get confused with emotions. So you can take anything that was created for good. Learning was created for good. Family was created for good. Emotions were created for good. And we can pervert them and put them out of place.
Yes.
So easily. And at first it always feels good, right? Like you're like, oh, look, I'm doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm really, and for a short time it would be okay, but it's when that becomes a distraction or a numbing that it becomes bad, right?
Absolutely. And it's interesting to really take a close look at why you do the things you do. Even for my own self, mm-hmm. I love helping people. I love seeing people grow, and I'm so blessed to be able to do that for my job. But I also will, when I'm wanting to use this tactic, I will spend my evenings checking on my friends mm-hmm. or like seeing how people are doing instead of being still with my own stuff. Yeah. And it looks good uh-huh. and it makes other people feel nice that I checked on them, but it's also something that I think for myself, I need to be aware of.
Yeah. So it's just really evaluating, yourself and why you're mm-hmm. doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So the exactly. why behind it is probably what's yep. important.
Yep. And have you had any time to just be still is another helpful question to ask yourself.
Yeah.
As well. So cope. What was the next one? Conceal.
But I have a quote really quick.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Jenny Allen said in her book, "We are making ourselves sick with coping. We think that in our checking out and our numbing out, we are relaxing. But the truth is we are missing the gifts of God that are meant to keep us in delightful relationship with Him. We are drifting from deep, meaningful relationships with other people in our coping." Mm. And I saw it just resonated with me. Because you can take, I've even taken Sabbath and made it not holy, by numbing out during it instead of actually resting in God. And there's such a difference in the two.
It's so true.
It's like fantastic. She said, yes.
Yeah, really good.
So the next one, there's conceal and control.
Okay.
Conceal is, how do you see conceal play out in day to day?
So concealing would be when we kind of shove our emotions underground and we feel it rising up and we know there's something that needs to happen. And then we're like, nope, not going to happen. And we uh-huh. kind of push it back under the surface. And I've heard someone refer to that as burying it alive.
Mm. Ew, for one.
I know.
That freaks me out. But
I know.
That's true, though, because it doesn't go away.
No.
It's still living. It's just still under there. The surface.
Yeah. And then what's going to happen when you keep burying things alive? Pressure will build.
I kind of hate that.
I know. It's kind of gross, but it's mm-hmm. it's just a really good imagery.
It really does, though, when it's happening. True.
We have to be able to let that thing, I guess, progress through the course of its life in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to feel our emotions. Now, obviously, if you are in the boardroom or you are driving your kids to soccer practice and you're feeling super emotional, it's not going to be the optimal time to let it all out. Mm-hmm. So make a mental note and deal with it later. One of the best resources or processes to do to make sure that you're not concealing is journaling. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't like to journal regularly. I'm not very great at it, if I'm being honest myself, but it allows you to think about what's happening in your mind and in your emotions, write it all down. Mm-hmm. I like to write a letter to the Lord or I'm talking to God as I write. And it feels like I've done something with my emotion. Mm-hmm. I've put it on paper. I didn't have to deal with it in the moment. I didn't have to blow up or start mm-hmm. sobbing in an awkward situation.
Yeah, right.
But I can bring it to the Lord later.
And Jenny talks about that too. She even talks about, and I'm interested to hear what you think about this. She talks about certain seasons that we just literally cannot process because we have to get through them. Traumatic seasons, hard seasons. But that God created our brains to push through it. And then we have to do the work on the other side of that.
So true.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
Yeah.
Our brains are so cool.
Yeah.
God made such an amazing, I don't want to use the word machine, but I don't know what else to say in this moment, but they are fascinating and they keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a moment where what we're going through might be too hard or traumatic for us to handle, our brains do kind of shut down a little bit. and help us kind of get through it.
Yeah.
And then later we can process. And that's the healthy way to do that. If those things are never processed, they become deep-seated wounds in our soul.
Yeah. I'm thinking of when Quinn was in Denver as a newborn preemie. And I think back to that time and I just don't even know how I went through it. But I did. Yep. But I did not do the work when I was safe again and had time until years later. And I did. I saw it coming up because I buried it alive. Yeah. It would show up sometimes in ways that were not healthy and that I didn't want. So, yeah, that's very true. Something that's been powerful for me with Conceal is sharing it. And so when I realized, like, look, I'm being so anxious about Quinn and I'm doing all of these things that showed that I had not emotionally healed or even looked at how I felt during that time, coming to you as a friend and as a counselor was so helpful. Bringing it to the light, I think, is really helpful as well. And that's kind of what you're doing when you're journaling or yes. praying to God, too.
There's so much power, though, in sharing with another person.
Yeah.
Because we are told, and I know that we're not talking about sins, but we are told to confess our sins to one another. And we're told to weep with those who weep and rejoice yeah. with those who are rejoicing. And both of those things can happen, confession and mutual experience. When we share with another person, we can experience grace mm-hmm. from them. We can experience kindness and even compassion and sorrow for what we went through. And that's beautiful.
It is.
It's very healing.
It is. And I liked this quote by Jenny Allen. She said, you don't have to tell everyone,
no.
but tell someone. Like, don't walk through things alone. And maybe it's your husband, or maybe it's a counselor, maybe it's a friend.
Yes.
But yeah, don't keep the really hard things to yourself.
Totally agree.
Okay.
Yep.
The next one, control. This is the one I'm the very best at. Not in a good way. I would say that I have learned to be good at this. So how do you see this play out in your office or through people's lives?
Yes. This one I think is... And I could be referencing it not quite like how Jenny
yeah.
did. So if I'm not
really fine, yeah.
I'm referring to it accurately, you can correct me. But my idea of what it looks like would be controlling external circumstances when we feel like we can't control what's happening inside.
Yeah.
So that can look like tasks and busyness. It can look like also, aside from just activity, it can also be taking things into our own hands instead of turning to the Lord. So I'm reminded of the story when Ishmael was born, because they did not wait for the Lord to fulfill his promise to Abraham to have a child.
Right.
And so he had a child through his wife's servant, Hagar, and Ishmael was born. And Ishmael, that ended up not being a good thing. And yeah. so if we are always controlling and not trusting the Lord or turning to him or waiting for his perfect timing, the results are not his best for us.
Right.
And sometimes the results of us getting our fingers in where they don't belong have a lot of consequences that we end up having to walk through in our life to kind of find our way out of.
Yeah. I agree. And with Ishmael, yeah, just so much unnecessary pain mm-hmm. was caused versus if they would have just been patient and trusted in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what controlling is for me. It's a place I get to where I'm like, I don't know if you're doing things right. I'll do it. I got this.
Yeah.
And it never has ever worked out as well as when I do fully trust God. Sometimes trusting God takes longer and you have to be more patient. But definitely I always have like consequences because I cannot see everything God can see, and he yeah. is for our good, and he sees beyond our in the moment feelings mm-hmm. that we can kind of use to manipulate situations to
That's
our
so
control.
True. Yep.
And even things like working out, and I know we used that for coping too, but working out or eating healthier, just like I'm going to do everything perfect and then I will have the perfect outcome and I'll never get sick and like yep. things will be just fine.
Yep.
There's just a lot of different ways that you can try to control or manipulate situations. I was reminded of Proverbs 19:21, and it says that we can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. And that is such a comfort to me because yes. my plans stink. Like
same.
yeah. And sometimes, and what's scary about it is sometimes it will feel good and like look good from the outside. Like, wow, she's really got her stuff together.
Oh, yeah.
She really is in control, but it's not good on the inside.
It's true. If it's not surrendered to the mm-hmm. Lord, then it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
The same thing could look, it could look the same on the outside. You might have someone who is doing a lot of really amazing things and they're very productive and active, but it's based on the Lord's direction and guidance. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a healthy result versus striving in our own strength. Mm-hmm. One of the things that people like to tell themselves or tell other people is give it to God. And it's people use it as kind of a pat directive. Like if their friend is stressed out about something, just give it to God. I don't necessarily like that when it's used in that context, because I believe that surrender to the Lord is active and difficult.
Like it's not a one-time thing.
No, it is something that takes effort and intentionality and focus and trust. It's not just something that you're just going to let all the little butterflies and rainbows fly away and you're going to feel better.
Yeah, let me open this cage. Yeah.
It's, I am giving this to you, God, and I don't want to. I want to hold on to this with both hands and not let go. But opening and surrendering when we're wanting to control is powerful and beautiful, and he is good and trustworthy.
Yeah. And like you said, it is sometimes moment by moment, because I've played tug of war before. Not that even God, he's just waiting, I think. I don't know. Like, and then I'm like, oh, wait, actually, I'm going to take that back.
Never mind.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, here you go. And it is, it's like daily, moment by moment, surrendering. And I think that for a long time, that's confused me so much, because I'm like, why can I not just give it to him? Like, why can I not just open the cage? Like you said, that was a really good imagery. And let these butterflies fly out, or moths or whatever they are.
Because it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. And it is, it's like a process. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like probably the whole length of my life will be that mm-hmm. surrendering to God over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So I had a question that I was thinking, and it was, what is the difference between doing these things like coping, concealing, controlling, and bringing them to God? We kind of touched on it, but I was thinking how, because Jenny says in her book, what I'm trying to think of how she says it, but she says that we, these things like controlling, concealing, coping will give you a temporary like feeling of goodness or safety or whatever it is you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But God does not. It's not temporary.
No.
But sometimes it feels like in the process of re-surrendering over and over, and I hope I'm making sense because I did not write this down. It doesn't always, it feels temporary sometimes. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
It does.
Because we still, I think the reason being is because we still will feel are bad emotions. It's not like, and there's like an argument that there are no bad emotions, but the bad feeling emotions,
yeah,
you still feel them. So you can give it to God, and in one moment you can feel like, okay, this is going to be okay. I have peace. And then you can be wrecked the next second.
Oh, so true. I remember telling a friend once that I just can't wait until I'm just done being refined. Like I wanted to just take my heart and lift it up to the Lord and say, here, just fix everything, but don't make me go through any more hard things. Like, here's my heart. Just do everything to it that you need to. And she said, Katie, if you were done being refined, you would be dead. And although I look forward to eternity in heaven, I also want to live this life to the fullest, and I want to do it with the Lord. And the beautiful thing is that when we are true Christ followers, we have the Holy Spirit within us that helps us through these things. Mm-hmm. We can white knuckle ride it in our own strength, or we can invite the Lord into the process of this in our emotional journeys and healing. And he tells us that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so, yes, it is daunting and we might have to do the same thing over and over and over. But after time, that transformation will start to take place. And, yeah. and that can be backed up both biblically and in science. Mm-hmm. New neural pathways can be formed when we take our thoughts captive and we redirect them in a way that is new. And so if we do that along with the Lord, it's going to be aligned with not my truth or your truth, but his truth. He will also, through his power, help us be transformed more and more into his image. And yes, in this life, we will have troubles, but we don't have to fear because he is with us. He is with us in the highs and the lows. He is with us when we need comfort, when we need discipline, when we need encouragement, and he never fails.
So good. Yes. And we basically have the choice to white knuckle it and do it ourselves and, you know, it doesn't work or go to God and have him alongside us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away those negative feelings, but he is our comforter mm-hmm. and our strength.
Amen.
Okay, well, I have nothing. That was good. Like, I feel like we should end there. Do you have anything else you want to add? Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
This was fun.